we're going to talk about the beginning and the end of the great controversy. In Genesis 1 and 2, you don't have to go there yet, I'm just giving you a little background, and Revelation 21 and 22. Genesis 1 and 2, man is perfect. Revelation 21 and 22, man is perfect again. Everything in between those two spots, you might want to turn that down just a little bit. Everything in between those two spots in Earth's history is God seeking to bring man back to perfection. Amen, somebody. That's a word that upsets a lot of people. I don't know why, because I always ask people, I'm always intrigued when people say, nobody's perfect. I understand I haven't prayed yet, so don't worry, this is a commercial. I'm always intrigued when people say nobody's perfect, and the first thing I say to them is, you've been all the way around the world and interviewed everybody, right? And then they look very dumbfounded. Saints, it's a very simple question. Is God bigger than sin?
Yes. Yes.
Next question. Is God bigger than Satan?
Yes.
Yes.
Next question. Is God bigger than the demons of hell?
Yes.
So the equation is solved, right? All we have to do is cooperate.
Amen.
But we have not been taught how to cooperate. This is where we must begin. So I'm going to take a moment to kneel, and if you can, that's fine. I always say it this way because often we're in churches where there are individuals that really cannot kneel, because if they kneel, then we got to help them up. No, it's true. It's true. You know, I've got younger knees than most people. You know, but there are people that really can't. They want to kneel. So we have to be careful that we don't become Pharisees and look at them strangely because they're not kneeling, because they might not be physically capable. So if you can, we'll kneel and we'll pray and then we'll go right to the Word. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we're thankful once again for your love, your kindness, and for all of your many blessings. We ask now that the blessings that already exist in Holy Scripture would come upon us and overtake us. We ask that as we read that you would make permanent changes in our hearts, minds, souls, and characters. Cause us to be the people you would have us to be, even like Christ. We thank you for your love and your kindness, that you are more than powerful enough to change us, that the great controversy might be ended and we might go home at last to be with thee. In Jesus' name, let us all say together,
amen.
Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 7. We're going to just touch just for a minute on the end, and then we'll go back to the beginning. We're not going to deal so much with Lucifer tonight. We'll deal with him tomorrow. All right, so don't get in your mind that I'm skipping. I just want you to know how we're going to view this. Pardon me. Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7. Verses 1 to 4. Revelation chapter 7, verses 1 to 4. And the scripture states, and after these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor sea, nor any tree. So God has divided the world north, east, south, and west, and he has angels that are assigned to control that portion of the earth. And other angels are under their command, and that's why people like Putin and the man in Russia hadn't blown up the world yet, because the angels won't let them. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
So I'm not concerned about that, because the destruction of the world is God's job.
Amen.
Not going to be man's job. Now, man might destroy some parts of it, you know, and some of us even might go up in smoke with it. But as long as your life is hid with Christ in God, nothing to worry. Amen. And that's why the scripture says that he has victory over hell and death.
Amen.
All right, so it doesn't matter how you die. It matters how you live. Amen?
Amen.
Verse 2, and I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And we know that the seal is the Sabbath, and we know that the sealing work is a settling into the truth, both spiritually and intellectually, so that you cannot be moved. Now, this is a wonderful thing. So once you are converted, and the early rain falls upon you, and you continue to walk in the early rain, and you get the abundance of the early rain that brings you all the way into the experience of perfection of character and victory over sin, and you no longer are living in any sin. Then you get the latter rain. Amen. The early rain does all the rest of that. The latter rain fixes you where you don't know, you won't know that you can't backslide. Amen, somebody. Amen. So Noah had this experience in a way, because when he went into the ark, he couldn't get out.
That's right.
Now everybody gets sealed. Come on, listen to me carefully now. Everybody gets sealed. The Christians get sealed with the image of Jesus. The mark of the beast is essentially the perfection of the image of Satan. Yes, we know that the receiving the mark of the beast is and will be Sunday worship when it's enforced by law. But that is just because Satan is against the law, and if he can just get one, then he's got the whole thing. Well, this is why we have to concentrate by God's grace on complete, unbroken, uninterrupted victory over all sin.
Amen.
We don't have to worry about inherited or cultivated tendencies to evil, because God is bigger than all of that.
Amen.
Amen. So it doesn't matter what your culture is, because whatever your culture is, you got something bad in it. Amen. Wherever you came from. I could tell you some bad stories out of my family, but I won't do it. We had some amazing stuff in there, but God has given me victory over all of it. I'll give you one of them. My grandfather had a temple, my daddy had a temple, and I had a temple. I was 2 years in ministry, and I had a temple like nobody's business. But God used my wife.
Amen.
Isn't that interesting how marriage works? My wife and I talked about this just a couple of days ago. We talked about how she had defects and I had defects. And God used me to point out her defects, and God used her to point out my defects, and we both prayed and we got victories.
Amen.
So don't be mad when somebody tells you, brother, just say, oh, please pray for me. And go ahead and get it right. Amen? It's the best thing to do. All right, let's go on a little bit further now. Pardon me. In verse 2, the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was giving, hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and they were sealed in 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Now, these are not literal tribes, because if they were literal tribes, then the whole thing would be in its literality. Now, I'm not getting into the thing of literal or not literal in the number. I'm not doing that tonight. All right? I can do that some other time. All right? But right now, what we want to focus on is character. The character that we must possess is a character that perfectly reflects the image of Jesus. Now, how do you purify gold? No, you don't burn it. Yes, you melt it. That's right, you melt it. All right, and what happens when you melt it? It liquefies, and what happens in the liquid? Why does it rise to the top? Why does the dross rise to the top? That's right. That's right. Yeah, well, all the impurities come to the top. You ever felt like that you was being burned up by trials? You haven't been in that? None of y'all had that? Oh, somebody said plenty of times, okay, God's got a special work for you. Yeah, the heat's going to get turned up. So that we can see ourselves, and Jesus can look at us and say, he can say, I see myself. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice and be exceedingly glad, inasmuch as ye are partakers of His suffering. It's not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed. So we're going to have the heat turned up. And God is the one that's controlling the gauge. Amen for that. Sometimes you feel like saying, Lord, can you turn it down? Lord said, no, I got to turn it up before the crisis comes. It's going to be a worldwide crisis. All right, now go with me to Revelation 14. Still at the beginning of this now. We're looking actually at the end. Why are we looking at the end? Because this group, the 144,000, this group that perfectly reflect the image of Jesus, these are the ones that will bring a close to the great controversy, because the great controversy cannot close until God has a people that will represent His character in such a way that the devil will say, well, they are mine, and God will say, has thou considered all my servants? Just like He did about Job. And so, the 144,000 is God's boycott on the entire world. We don't need your water. We don't need your electricity. We don't need your jobs. We don't need your checks. We don't need your houses. We don't need your land. God can provide us with all of that. That's really going to mystify the beast.
No cell phone.
Amen. Yeah, no cell phone. Amen. All right. Revelation 14, verses 1-5. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written in their foreheads. Why the forehead? Because the forehead is where your reasoning takes place. This is where you make your decisions. This is where character is formed. This is where you say yes or no to evil. Every day, a book was written that stated that we make at least 17,000 decisions every day. So not all those decisions are wrong or right. Some of them are just, I'm going to wear a blue shirt, I'm going to wear a white shirt. I'm going to wear sneakers, I'm going to wear hard shoes. I'm going to wear jeans, I'm going to wear khakis. You know, I'm going to comb my hair to this side, or I'm going to shave my head. Whatever it is, all these different decisions that we're going to make. But during the course of the day, you start making decisions that are heaven or hell decisions. Amen. So you're at the, what happened to me the other day? I was coming through the light. The guy pulls out in front of me this big old tow truck. And praise God for good brakes on your truck. So I slowed down. Because if I had to hit that steel bed, it would just tore my little truck to pieces. You know, he drove into the same gas station. And I was saying, well, if he comes close to me, I will kindly tell him, sir, you really could have caused a bad accident. But because he was on the other side of the parking lot, I did not shout across the parking lot. I didn't say, hey! Because that wouldn't have looked well. No. It would not have been a good representation, although I would have been telling him the truth. So we have to look at how we do things. All right? Father's name written in their foreheads. Take a minute and just think in your mind about the word Sabbath. S-A-B-B-A-T-H. Take the S and the TH off of it. What you got?
Abba.
Father's name written in the foreheads. You got it? You with me? Or did I go too fast? All right, let's keep going. I heard a voice from heaven as a voice of many waters, as a voice of great thunder. I heard a voice of harpers harping with their harps, and they sung as it were a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders, and no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. Why? Anybody have an answer?
Because their experience of their life, what they went through.
Okay. You definitely are on top of the stove. Can you sharpen it up a little bit?
Nobody else has gone through
what they've gone through. 6,000 years of sin. You got two groups on the world. One group completely demon possessed and the other group completely Holy Ghost filled. You want to be living in?
Yes.
Good, sister. Me too. What do you say?
I say I want to be in the latter group.
What's the latter group?
The ones that are living in the Holy Spirit.
Okay, amen. We're all saying the same thing. Because that's the only two choices we have. You can either be on God's side of the devil's side. Verse 4. Watch this now. Watch this text very carefully. These are they which are not defiled with women. So this is not literal. It's not talking about that the 144,000 is just going to be men. This women is talking about churches. Now, most of the time, when we say churches, we make reference to apostate Protestantism. Is that the only place where you can get in trouble?
No.
Now, let me tell you a little something about myself. Pardon me. I worked at Wildwood Sanitarium for a period of time. 4 years ago, I worked for the Guam Micronesian Mission for 5 years as a pastor out there. And then I came back here and I said, I know I can get a job anywhere now because I've been a missionary. And I started giving out my resumes and every door went doom, 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 doom. I said, "What, Lord, what is it?" The Lord said, "That's not your call." "What? That's not my call. It's not where my calling is going to be." "Lord, well, what, Lord, well, where? What do you want? What do you want me to do?" "And you called me to preach." He said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, what do I preach at then, Lord?" He said, "You have a living room."
Amen.
Yeah. So you know, I would have never. You could have never. 5 years ago, if you had told me that, I would have told you I didn't believe. But this is where we have gone. Now, how did we get there? We got there because the devil attacked the educational system. When did he attack? He attacked the educational system before Jesus was born. Did you hear me? Before Jesus was born. What happened? So the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem started going down to Alexandria, Egypt to get their degrees. And they came back to Jerusalem, and I am now doctor. And so, as when John the Baptist started to preach, they said, "Well, did he go to school with you?" "No, he didn't go to school." "Did he go to school with you?" "No." Well, what is this ignorant and unlearned man doing preaching to us then? But they knew he had the power of the Holy Spirit. So now watch this. Those individuals that rejected John, those individuals, most of those individuals also rejected Jesus. Those individuals that rejected John rejected Jesus, and those individuals that rejected John and rejected Jesus were not prepared for Pentecost. So look at it today. So those individuals that have that are rejecting the straight testimony are rejecting Jesus. And if you're rejecting the straight testimony and rejecting Jesus, you won't be able to receive the early rain. Can't get the early rain. Forget the latter. We need to stop preaching on the latter rain. We need to start preaching on the early. Don't misunderstand what I just said. Because if you don't get the early rain, which follows you all the way through, carries you all the way through your Christian experience, you won't get the latter rain.
That's right.
So we must have the abundance. I had a wonderful experience on an airplane when I was coming here. I said, "Well, I've got this time." I didn't even open my Bible. I just flew practically the whole way with my eyes closed. And as I prayed and as the Holy Spirit visited me, I was literally crying in the airplane. I just kept wiping my face, and I know the people was wondering, "What's wrong with that man?" I just kept, and I was just sitting there praying, and the Holy Spirit was just speaking to my heart. We've got to spend time with God. You've got to take time to spend time and make time to have time so that God has time to mold your character. Because nobody else can do it. The husband can't fix the wife, and the wife can't fix the husband. You marry somebody and you say, "Well, I'm going to change him." No, you're not. Amen. You marry your sister and you say, "I'm going to change her." No, you're not. That's not your job. Amen. Wait a minute. I didn't get a good amen. Let's try it again. Amen.
Amen.
Only God can do the changing. But what we have to do, husbands, what we have to do, we have to be so Christ-like that they will desire to change. Amen, somebody. You need to be Christ-like. Don't walk around stomping on the floor talking about I'm a man. Well, she knew you was a man, otherwise she wouldn't have married you. Amen. Going on a little bit further. These were redeemed from among men, being first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. You know why the first fruit is so important? Because in the sanctuary service, they always brought the first fruit. They went out to the field and cut it, and they brought it to the priest, and the priest brought it before the Lord and waved it before the Lord as a wave offering, saying, Lord, if you didn't make this grow, we wouldn't have anything to eat. So we thank you for this. So the 144,000 are the first ripe. They are the first group. They are the group that have had the perfection of character that God wanted to have, and God waves them, Jesus waves them, as it were, before the Father, and then he says, now we can harvest. Waiting on a group so he can harvest. I want to be in that harvest, don't you?
Yes.
Talking about what the Marines say, they just want a few good men. God just wants just a few perfected men and women. Amen. And in their mouth, verse 5, was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. Now, let's go back to Genesis 3. Where are we going, everybody? Genesis 3. This is the beginning. Not Lucifer's part in heaven, but Lucifer's part on the earth. So we have to understand that Lucifer had gone to, or as Satan had gone through, to all the other unfallen worlds and had been unsuccessful. They had a tree of knowledge of good and evil. And they looked at him and said, you crazy. Gone somewhere else. Isn't that amazing? That the other planets can look across the edges of space and see us. And they're rooting for us. They're saying, come on, make it in. Come on, come on. Come on, make it in. They say, we've been watching. Come on, make it in. Now watch this. Look at this story. Genesis 3, starting in verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. What's wrong right here?
She listened?
Yeah, you're right, but you don't have it in the right order. You are right, but you don't have it in the right order. What's wrong here?
She wasn't in the wrong place.
She's out of position. That's out of position. Out of position. Do you see this taking place in the church today?
Yes.
Out of position. Let me give you the tail end. I got a four-part series on this thing on women's ordination, but let me give you the tail end of it. The tail end of it is this. If a woman can be an elder and a woman can be a pastor, that means a woman could have been a priest. If a woman could be a priest, that means a woman could have been a high priest. If a woman could have been a high priest, that means that Jesus could have been a woman. That means that the church could have atoned for itself, and that's not Bible. Did you get it? Or did I do it too fast? That's the tail end of a study. I go through a long series to get through that. But I just wanted to give you go back and turn it around in your head. You're serious. People talking about the Hebrew and the Greek. Man, never mind the Hebrew and the Greek. Well, what did the King James Version say? That's the last decent Bible you had. 1611, you don't have any more decent Bibles after that. All those Bibles have been influenced by the Jesuits of Rome. I wouldn't even encourage you to read a clear word, and that's not a Bible. That's right. That's right, it's not a Bible. It's going a little further now. Watch this. So the woman's out of place. But the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall eat of it, neither shall ye touch it lest ye die. What's wrong here? Come on. Think now. Think. First, she's out of place. What's she doing now? Okay, think. You're right, but think. Very basic. What is she doing? Out of place, and what's she doing now?
Listening or contemplating with
it. Yeah. But what is she doing?
Speaking to
him. Yeah, and so what is that?
Communing.
Okay, she's having a conversation. She's out of place, and now she's having the wrong conversation. Some conversations you don't have. I'm a married man. A woman comes up to me and say, "Oh, I really like..." God bless you, I'm gone. I'm not standing there having that conversation. We're not having this conversation. That conversation for me and my wife. It's not for you to give me any of those kind of compliments. I don't need them. Amen. Out of place, wrong conversation with the wrong person. And the serpent said unto the woman, "Ye shall not surely die." What's wrong now?
Lying.
Okay, but what is the woman doing?
Listening.
Wrong place, wrong conversation, now listening to the wrong thing. Some things you don't listen to. Some things you don't talk about. You with me?
Yes.
Follow it now. Watch this. "For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." What is the devil saying about Christianity? Yeah, you're right, Pastor, but even something a little bit sharper than that. Let me read this part. "Then your eyes shall be open." What is he saying about Christianity? He's actually saying, what, somebody said it? Okay, yeah, something else. What's wrong now? What's wrong with my eyes now? He's saying that if you're a Christian, you're blind. There are some things I don't need to see. Amen. Something you don't need to put your eyes on. "Then you shall be as God," you know, knowing good and evil. God never intended for us to know evil. God never intended for a man to kiss a woman until he kissed his wife, unless he kissed his mama, and that's a different kiss. That's a kiss on the forehead and kiss on the cheek. Kiss on the ear. Kiss on the neck. You know, your mama's going to be kind to you and sweet to you and all of that, even if she have to whip you. Maybe sometimes she kissed you after she whipped you. Amen. My mother gave me a lot of whippings because I was a very big kid. I was big for my age. And I was stubborn as five mules running toward destruction. Yes, I was. Thank God for mom. Five mules running toward destruction. You know how stubborn a mule is? You ever work with one? You know anything about them? Okay, I'm sorry. Okay. You know, how many of you know anything about raising cattle? Anything about sheep? Okay, you know something about cattle. All right. Know anything about sheep? Know anything about goats? Okay, not yet. Get out of my notes, brother. But now, if you have, lay some goats or sheep or something like that, and the coyotes get them, they'll tear them up. You put one mule in there, you won't have no coyotes. Because the mule will stomp them to death. They're some real sturdy animals. Why you think back in the old days that the kings rode white mules? You meditate on that. We're going to keep going. All right? Yep. "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food," says who? Was the tree good for food? Did God say the tree was good for food? What did God say about the tree? He said, "Don't touch it. Leave that tree alone. That's my tree." What was she doing? She was stealing. She was standing there looking at the tree. She was lusting. She was coveting. That was idolatry. You see how it works now? This where the great controversy started. Now watch. We haven't got to the deeper part yet. Stay with me. Watch this. "When the woman saw," according to her vision, "that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes," according to her vision, because her vision is now messed up. Let me tell you this. You'll like this. My wife had been in an accident years ago, and we had to go to the chiropractor. So we were coming in the chiropractor's office, and I'm right here, and my wife is up there, and the chiropractor's coming in right here. And as he comes in, he winks at my wife, and I get real close to him, and I say, "You got something in your eyes, buddy?"
And he said, no. I said, I'm just checking. My wife said, why did you do that? I said, if he's stupid enough to do it in my face, I need to call him on the carpet. I said, people need to learn some respect. And she said, okay. Watch this now.
Tree desired, it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired, a tree to be lusted after, a tree to be coveted when you're not in God's will.
Going a little further now. Follow me. Stay with me.
To make one wise,
so she wasn't going to be made wise, she was actually going to be made into a fool.
She took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed, they sewed, they made, they produced fig leaves, using fig leaves together, and made themselves apron. You ever notice how much an apron covers? Come on, think with me. What does an apron cover? Most of the time, your front, and sometimes up here. So all of that back there was out. All on the side was out. First miniskirt in church, right there. Amen. First back out in church, right there. Adam was the pastor. He caused it. You see this great controversy? You see it? We're in a church today where people won't even preach on dress reform anymore. We won't even touch it. We're scared to death. Now, I'm not saying be mean and unchristlike. No. Don't do that. Give people time to grow and develop and all of that. Yes. But at some point in time in the Bible study, we need to study what is modesty. You read Exodus chapter 20 and you read down to the end of it. And it talks about the priest, and it says about the priest that ye shall not go up unto my altar on steps, lest your nakedness be seen thereon. Now they had on a long garment and they had on linen breeches. And God said, He didn't want anybody even looking at the linen breeches up under the man's garment. What is this we got going on in churches today? Men are structural. Women are aesthetic. Women like what's pretty and dainty and all of that. Need I say any more? Let's move on. Watch this now. So, the first sin, backing up, the first sin started with an in-between meal snack. Did you get it? It was the longest snack that ever take place. Men are still snacking. So now let's look at how Jesus tackles the great controversy. Matthew chapter 4. How does he tackle it? He sees what man has done. He comes to this world as a babe. He gets baptized. And now he's prepared to begin his ministry. But before he begins his ministry, he does something. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 4. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 4. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 4. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. He wasn't there just to be tempted. He went there actually to meditate on his mission. And the devil said, well, here's an opportunity now. I can take advantage of Jesus because Jesus is now weak. He's emaciated. He's hungry. So I can make a suggestion to him and maybe he'll follow it. Maybe he's weak now. Maybe he's not really going to be able to do what he did in heaven. And he whips the wheels off of the devil again. Amen. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward unhungered. Jesus began redeeming man just where man fell. He fell on the point of appetite. We are told that appetite and passion are the prevailing sins of this age. If you eat too much and you eat the wrong thing, you're going to do some wrong things because it's going to cloud your brain. The prevailing principle behind health reform is so that your mind can be clear, so that the Holy Spirit can communicate to your mind, because your mind is the only medium through which God can communicate and develop a righteous character. It's not so you can live a long time. God can just speak to your body and say, you're not going to die no matter what happens. You can get shot through with a shotgun. You keep on walking around. But God says, I'm going to give you a part to play in character development. So when you go to the store, you choose. Either you choose cookies or you choose vegetables. Either you choose ice cream or you choose fruit. Any of y'all don't know how bad ice cream is? Get your little old small thing of regular ice cream and take a spoon of it and put it on your driveway and leave it alone. See what happens. Not only will it melt, but the stain won't leave. You won't wash that stain up. You're going back and study all the chemicals in it. One of the things in there is antifreeze. Any of y'all like chocolate ice cream? Don't raise your hand. You know how to make chocolate milk? Let me tell you how to make chocolate milk. Chocolate milk is made when they're milking the cows, and the milking machine stays on the udders too long. And when it stays on the udders too long, then they get bruised, and after a while, they begin to produce blood. And then they keep on milking them the same way. They bring them back the next day and whenever, and milk them the same way. And sometimes the scab has formed, and then they begin to milk blood and pus from the cow. And so they have these huge tubes that go, and when they look up and they see a little tinge of pink in there, they press a button, and it goes into the chocolate vat. And so that's how you get chocolate milk. You still like your chocolate? I'm trying to turn you off on purpose. Yeah. A Move Over Milk. Did you see that one? By Dane and Vicki Griffin. That's a very old one. Okay, now so this thing about appetite is very, very serious. Beloved, we need to have anywhere from 75 to 80% of our diet needs to be greens and leafy vegetables and all that kind of stuff. Why? Because that's the filter that takes all the poison out of your system. All right? My wife and I, we sit down and we laugh at it. The reason why we laugh at it is because, you know, we're in our 60s now. And when we were younger, we didn't have any health challenges. So we started having a few little health challenges here and there. And we said, gotta adjust this, and gotta adjust this, and gotta adjust this. God, I just is, but I feel so much better. Amen. You ever really, you know, sit down and study some things in the Bible, you'll be astounded. You ever notice that in the scriptures that the only time you find people using oil is in bread? No. Yeah, that's the only place. The Good Samaritan. Yeah, well, but I'm talking about ingesting it. I'm talking about ingesting it. Think carefully now. I've been through this book 22 times cover to cover. Now, I might have missed it, but if I missed it, you tell me. I want to know. So I don't have a problem if you got to correct me. Preachers can be corrected because we are human. We're not infallible. I know somebody that's infallible. He's in the most holy place. Amen. But it's proven that a low oil diet or no oil diet is better for your health. Why? Because your brain cells, You know, in your capillaries or your brain, you know, some of your brain cells, red blood cells, you know, they fold themselves in half so they can pass through. And as your heart beats, your blood vessels move like a wave. They move like a wave and they press all. And so as your cells go through and that wave hits them, the nutrition and the water and everything is pressed out to go where it's supposed to go. And so if you eat a bunch of oil and margarine and butter and you know what Crisco came from, right? Crisco. Crisco, that real thick. Crisco was originally a lubricant for factories. That's what it originally was. And then they lobbied the Food and Drug Administration, and they couldn't get them to go along, and they paid them, and they went along, and then they changed it into a food. You know what aspartame came from, don't you? Aspartame is fertilized. That's what's in your sodas and your bubble gum and your chewing gum and all that. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Go. The drill bits are called twist drills. Or drill bits.
Mm-hmm.
The name for them. So what they do, we take a little brush. My boss taught me, you put a little bit of crystal, white crystal in there.
Yeah.
And it doesn't dull it.
That's right.
It's a cutting.
Cuts right on through that metal. That's right.
Yeah, it's a cutting.
Yeah. Yeah. It's cutting oil. So we have all these different things that have come at us, and the adversary has been very clever. Because so often you go to churches and you don't hear a message on health reform because we are told that every minister is supposed to be a medical missionary. Yeah, but the pastors first. Because they're supposed to train. You know, myself and Pastor Cortez and others that are leaders, you know, when you go astray or do something wrong, if you don't get it right, you know, God will punish you 10 times more than anybody else. Of your influence.
That's right.
So it's very, very serious. I was up in New York years ago doing a week of prayer, and it was in the middle of the winter, and I was out, you know, back in those days I jog. I don't jog now. Now I walk.
And so I was out there jogging, and all the kids were watching me going around and around the track, you know, and they went running to the church saying, "Pastor's in shape! Pastor's in shape!" Well, they couldn't see anything. I had on tons and tons of clothes, but they just assumed because I was running right around track. I was in shape. But it made a good impression on their minds.
So, beloved, this thing of diet and eating right and going to bed on time, drinking your water, and not stressing. Amen. Don't worry. Stress. Worry, same thing. Yes, ma'am.
Crisco's hydrogenated, so that's really bad.
Yeah, very bad.
But in Deuteronomy, it says, "For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey." So some oil is a little.
Yeah, but. Small amount. Yeah. Very small amount. Yeah, but the way we use it, on breads, you know, on salads, you know, fried. Oh, please don't fry. Whatever you do, don't fry. Yeah. And you know where you get your fat from? You know where you get your fat from? From your nuts and your seeds. That's where you get your fats from. See, Ella White says that we have to eat the oil as found in the olive. Oh, no, don't. Mm-mm. Bad, bad. Bad. Yeah, little. No fried food. Little, little, little. Very, very important. You'll feel better. I guarantee you. I've made myself a guinea pig. And I've done all kind of experiments with me. And I've found a better way by reading and checking it out. My wife is a wonderful cook. My wife is such a wonderful cook that I should be 3 times as big as I am. But there are certain things I just have to tell her, honey, that's good. And I have had enough, and I'm not having any more. Very important. Sisters, you should know how to cook. And you should teach your husbands how to cook. Amen. Amen, brothers. Amen. Let your wife teach you how to cook, because a man should know how to cook too. I have 2 boys and 2 girls. And I took my girls and taught them how to do carpentry. And my wife took the boys and taught them how to cook. Yeah.
Did she teach the girls too?
Oh, man, my girls can cook up a storm. Yeah, that was number one. You know. Men should know how to clean houses. Amen. Dishes don't have the word wife written on it.
Amen.
Amen, brothers? All right.
All right, we're on the same page. All right, let's go on a little bit further. We're dealing with this thing of the great controversy. All right? So Jesus started where man failed. Man failed on the point of appetite. Tell me when I'm supposed to stop, Pastor. 8:30-ish. Okay, so that means I need to finish in 5 minutes.
Let the Holy Spirit call you.
Okay, all right. I don't want to weary the saints. So Jesus started his ministry, started redeeming man right where man failed. If we want perfection of character, we must take care of our physical man. This house just so happens to be the house that the brain lives in. And if you ruin this house, then the brain doesn't think. You know, it's been proven that the average hardcore criminal consumes 200 pounds of sugar a year. Because it drains cobalt out of the brain. And cobalt is intimately linked to the ability to be kind, loving, tender, meek, and patient. Average American consumes about 143 pounds of sugar a year. White, refined sugar is poison. And the older you get, the better your diet had better be if you want to stay here. You don't want to stay here? Help yourself. No, I mean, I have to be truthful. If you don't want to stay here, you eat whatever you want to. But then what's going to happen is you're going to have to pay the price with your living and your death and maybe with your soul. Because God is very serious. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit and He wants to dwell there. He wants to take care of you. He wants you to prosper and be healthy. This is not talking about, most time when we read about prosperity, we think it's always talking about money. God has a whole lot of ways to provide. I have 30 acres of land. I didn't pay a dime for it.
No way. Wow.
Yes, or what? I didn't have it. I didn't have any money. I was a poor carpenter, and my wife had MS for many years, and I've had to spend thousands of dollars on herbs and things that otherwise she'd have been gone already. So I'm glad to spend it, because that's my best friend. Jesus first, my wife next. I was glad to give it. I wanted to stay around. That's my buddy. She tells me when I'm on the straight and narrow, and she tells me if I'm going to the right or to the left. She says, wait a minute, bro. Okay, honey. Very, very important. So this thing about diet, as it's tied into the great controversy, and you start looking at it, you start seeing, you know, how do I say this? Many of us, listen to me very carefully so you don't run out here and say something that I didn't say, and I'm glad it's being taped. Many of us are on medicines that we don't have to be on. Did you hear what I said? Many of us are on medicines that we don't have to be on. Now, I did not tell you to run out of here and throw your medicines away. I didn't tell you to do that. But you should investigate how you can get off of your medicines if you're on medicine. Because they all have bad side effects.
Pharmakia.
You've been in my notes. The word pharmakia comes from the word sorcery, from which we get the word pharmakia, pharmakos, pharmacy, which means one who enchants with drug medication, a poisoner, a druggist, a witch. Sorcery. So it's very unfortunate. When the AMA was being formed, the Seventh-day Adventist Church could have had its own thing, but they fumbled the ball and let it go. In 1928 to 1931 was when we first got accreditation for our medical schools. We should have never been accredited. Harvard, Yale, Oxford told us, don't do it. Then the next mistake we made was we got a 501c3 tax exempt status. That's why we can't preach against homosexuality and lesbianism right now. And that's why the preachers are like this. What'd you say, Pastor? I mean, we laugh, but it's serious. Because I got a lot of friends that's tied up, and their hands are tied by the structure. They didn't intend for it to be that way, but that's the way it is. So we are not to look down our noses at anybody. We're not to feel that we're better than anybody, but we are to tell our brothers, you need to go on and preach the truth, otherwise you'll be lost. With love. With the love of Jesus. Absolutely. Everything wrapped up in the love of Jesus. All right, so now, we have Adam and Eve. And as God, and I'm going to go through this list, but I won't go through all the text. But as you look at different individuals, you find the same message coming back over and over and over. Enoch, the Bible says that Enoch walked with God and he was not. So how much sin did Enoch take to heaven?
Zero.
None. Okay, we're on the same page. All right. Ellen White says that if Moses had not struck the rock, he would have been translated after he went into the promised land.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that's right. But God, no, but notice how merciful God is. Moses messes up and he says, you're not going in. You know, he says, you're going to die. The scripture says he was 120, listen saints, he was 120 years old. His natural force was not abated. In other words, he was not a weak man. This man was still prepared for battle and his eye was not dim at 120 years. 40 years in Egypt, 40 years with Jethro, and 40 years in ministry. He was the mega minister and had a mega ministry, a church of 2 million people, and God never in any other place told us to have mega ministries other than him and Jesus. Amen, somebody.
Yes.
There was the only two mega ministries that we got. Everybody else better not have no mega ministry. This right here is, please, you get 100 people to pastor, you got headache enough. Amen, somebody. Well, I love you, but I mean, it's real. I mean, because people come with they come with their luggage and their baggage, you have to help them. You don't need that. You don't need that, and you don't need that, and we blame it on our granddaddy. Well, my granddaddy was like that, but you don't have to be your granddaddy. But my grandmother was like that, but you don't have to be your grandmother. None of that. We cannot make any excuses for sin. Amen?
Amen.
So we have these individuals, we have Enoch, and then what about Elijah? How much sin did he take to heaven?
None.
None. Amen. Yeah, Elisha was a serious prophet too, brother. Yes, sir. If you go back and look at, if you go back and count the miracles, he actually performed twice as many as Elijah. Yeah, go back and count them. If my number is right, I think Elijah did 8, and I think Elisha did 16. But check me and make sure I'm right. I might have missed something here there, you know. But they, you know, powerful ministries. You know, so the same message keeps repeating in Genesis 17. Let me make sure I'm right. Genesis 17, God says to Abraham, walk before me and be thou perfect. He keeps giving the same message over and over and over. He says about Job, he said, hast thou considered my servant Job a perfect and upright man, one that fears God and escheweth evil? You know what it means to eschew evil? You go down the street and it's the red light district. You say, no, I ain't going down that street. I'm going down this street. Because you don't even want to see it. Stay out the way of evil. Let me make sure I'm right. Yeah, that's right. Genesis 17:1. When Abraham was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And Abraham had some serious issues. They couldn't have no kids. His wife said, well, you know, here's this cute little Egyptian. And he said, that's a fine idea. God had to rebuke him. God let his wife rebuke him. He said, put this woman, he didn't say wife, put this woman out. But she had my son. He need to go too. God said, listen to the voice of your wife. Wow. Abraham had a heart-wrenching experience. So God walks with him, walks with him, walks with him. He gets all the way up to Genesis 22. He says, take your son and go over him. Now watch what happens. Abraham doesn't talk to his wife. Abraham has no conversation with his wife. He goes and gets the two servants. He gets the boy. He gets the fire. He gets the wood. He said, let's go. We're going to the top of the mountain. What are we getting ready to do? We're getting ready to go worship. Notice the statement of faith. He said, I and the lad will go yonder and do sacrifice, and we will return. The brother was speaking in faith. He said, I believe that if I put this young man to death, God is going to resurrect him. Read about it in the Signs of the Times. Ellen White says that the devil walked beside Abraham for 3 days and 3 nights, taunting him, saying, you know, you better not do it.
You know you're going to kill. You know you're going to murder. You know you're going to go down. That's what the devil is like that. You trying to do God's will, and he walked beside you trying to discourage you. He went on anyhow. And then the angel stops him, and he said, "Now I know." Now, who was that angel? So did Jesus just now know, or did he already know? But Abraham needed to know. See, that was a controversy. Abraham needed to know. We needed to know. The unfallen worlds needed to know. The angels needed to know. And the demons of hell needed to know. That's right. All of those groups needed to know. And they say, "Wow, this brother's for real now. We can't turn him no more." That's right. And then he looks over there. He can't get out. Jesus, the representatives of Jesus, the ram, caught by the horns. Beloved, we are in a great controversy. We're in a war. Right now, it's so peaceful. We can come in here and sit in the air conditioning, praise the Lord, enjoy one another's fellowship. We don't know how long it's going to last.
That's right. That's right.
One day the plug is going to be pulled. One day God is going to tell the angels, let those winds go. It's going to be horrible on top side of this planet. We are in Christ. It's not going to matter. So my question to you tonight is, are you in Christ? Are you striving for victory over sin? Is there something in your home, in your life, in your wardrobe, in your refrigerator, in your music collection, on your library shelf, that's hindering you from doing what God wants you to do? If it is, give it up. It's too small to keep. Why would you hold on to it and allow that thing to debar you from going to heaven, from debar you from being able to be like Christ, from holding the glory back that Christ deserves? Think about what Jesus did. Jesus ceased accepting the praises and the adoration of angels. Steps out of the fullness of his divine self and walks down into this earth and puts divinity down inside humanity. But watch this. Never once did he use his own divinity to fight against sin.
That's right.
He had to reach outside of himself to his Father. Same thing with us. We have to reach up beyond ourselves to our Father. God's desire is to bring us up above self. That's what holds us back from having a perfected character. S-E-L-F. It's not anybody in the church that holds you back. It's not your husband or your wife. It's not your children. It's not your pastor. It's not what those other churches are doing. It's self. So we must make up in our minds we're going to fight this battle and by God's grace win. When I was over on the island, and I would get ready to go out to give my Bible studies, I would look at my wife before I would go, and I would say, "The battle begins." And I would do this like I'm pulling down my mask on my helmet and go out the door like this. Like a man that had on armor, I'm going to war. You know, because I never knew who I was going to meet. I'll never forget one night, we were sitting there, and a guy on drugs came straight inside my house. Only the Lord kept me from laying hands on him. Because it wouldn't have glorified God. But he understood he was wrong when he walked in my house. But what would have happened if I hadn't have been there? God always has things designed for our benefit. The great controversy is for our benefit. Think about it. We will be in a higher position in heaven than even the angels. Because the angels have never needed redemption. We will be able to sing a song that the angels, when we sing, the angels have to fold their wings in. Let us sing. Don't you want to be there? Would you let anything down here separate you? Would you let anybody, any doctrine, any belief, any feeling, any relative, anything that you like, Anything that you covet, oh, but Lord, just that little one, please don't make me give that up. Yeah, you better give it up. Because God loves you that much. Amen? So I appeal to us tonight. Let's really get close to the Lord. Amen? We should have an experience like the experience of the apostles. That's what I'm praying for. Once we get that, then guess what? You still can't brag. All of the glory goes to Jesus. None of it comes to us. Amen? Let's look to the Lord as we pray. Father in heaven, we're thankful once again for this day. We're thankful for your love and your kindness. We're thankful, Lord, that this controversy will soon end with a perfected people. And we want to be in that number of perfected individuals for your name's sake. Cleanse us from self and sin. Make us like Christ. In Jesus' name, let us all say together, amen.